Hello and welcome to Beyond the Ball. I am your very bright host, Collie, and I'm joined this week by Big Paddy. Paddy, what's happening?
All right, my man, how's it going?
Another common trend, you know, our Liverpool have dropped points and Connor has gone missing.
Yeah, and I had loads of stick ready for him as well.
Hold on a sec, I know I'm going to try fucking fix. Oh shit, don't know what I've done there. Sorry about that. Okay, Paddy. We're going to be looking at the results, a bit of a mixed bag from last weekend, and we're going to be looking at we're going to be giving our score predictions for the weekend's football. We're going to start giving a score prediction on the likes of Arsenal and stuff like that, so people are involved in the title race, because I think people will want to see and hear what we have to say. We'll also be looking at the fantasy football. We'll give a quick update on how the league is looking, and that'll be it. Then we'll be on our way. It is Champions League Tuesday, so I am watching Real Madrid and Man City, so if something happens there, I will be letting out a bit of a yelp. So, Paddy, we're going to jump straight into the football review. Paddy.
Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah.
Chelsea 4, United 3. What was your thoughts
old
on this?
Old news.
No. What did you think? Oh, you know,
Arsenal getting beaten.
Oh, already 2-1.
Yeah.
So what did you think, Paddy, overall of the match?
We were poor to go 2 goals down so early. Then Chelsea were poor to let us back into it. And then we were poor again for switching off. Whatever about the penalty, right, fair enough. And it was a penalty, absolutely. Yeah. Like, but the second goal, the way they switched off, was embarrassing.
From the corner.
Embarrassing. And just some of the, again, like, I know, like, everyone's picking Rashford out, but it just sometimes he'll sprint for the ball. Like, if you're going to play a pressing game, everyone has to press.
Yeah.
He just saunters around sometimes, and there was Chelsea players like literally strolling past him with the ball at their feet, and he was just allowing it. And it's just so frustrating, so frustrating. But fair play to Chelsea, they done it. Like, two mediocre teams made a great game of football, because it was a really, 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 really good game of football. But absolutely devastating at the end. I was watching it with my son, and we were like, I was thinking to myself, can't wait for the pod. I cannot wait for the pod. And then 2 minutes, I was crushed, absolutely crushed. What did you think of it,
prickhead? I thought it was fantastic. Now, I wasn't watching it in the greatest of scenes. I was at an afters of a funeral, and we were in the pub. I mean, it wasn't the greatest reaction for me to have in the middle of everybody that was upset, because they were giving me a little bit of abuse when Chelsea were 2-0 up and it went to 2-2. And then when they went 3-2 up, you know, I was getting dogs abuse then. And then 3-3, I jumped up, started celebrating, like, at the hope in front of everyone. Everybody, like, bear in mind, everybody's pretty sad over someone that's passed away. But then Chelsea scored the fourth goal. And I jumped up, and I started screaming in the middle of everyone. And I started screaming like a lunatic. And I jumped up, and I ran in the pub, and I ran into the restaurant part. Now, I forgot that the restaurant doesn't have a TV. And I have no idea. They have no idea what's going on. And they have no idea where I'm after sprinting into the fucking pub. Like this in the middle of it, screaming like a
lunatic. No.
I walked back in. Everyone's just looking at me. And I'm like, sorry. You're just like, we're happy for you. I was like, you're shy. But it wasn't the best circumstances to be celebrating it in. But at the same time, I would have loved it to be on the live stream. Sorry, just a quick one. Sorry, not that. When he is streaming RP, sorry, might be on that in a while, and then Drain Cole on top. But Paddy, it was a, I think you kind of summed it up. It was a kind of fucking weird game. Chelsea done really well to go 2-0 up, and I was saying to myself, lovely, happy days. And then Chelsea just do what Chelsea do best, and they fuck away a goal lead or 2 goal lead. Like, it shows the immaturity of our team, where we can't just close up games. We can't fucking control a game. Defensively, we're shy. And it's very frustrating. And we saw, like, the high of fucking beating Manchester United didn't last too long when we go to the next result. And we get brought back down to earth pretty fucking quickly. But delighted with this game, delighted with this result. it gave me a little bit of ammunition, because I still have been getting stick off United fans, although they're not doing great, they are still above us. But it meant then after we won this game, when we beat you, we had two games in hand, and if we had won them two games in hand, we would have went above you. Just saying that. So it's closer than you think, but of course Chelsea being Chelsea couldn't fucking do it. So that was me mashing
Sheffield United. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about it. But like, you know what? Like, watching United at this game, I was so surprised they let the lead slip, considering what happened to with Brentford the week before, how poor we were, and then scoring at the end, and then letting them get a goal afterwards. And after the game against Chelsea, letting another late goal go in against Liverpool at Old Trafford, then when we lost the penalty, I was just waiting for a third goal by Liverpool. I really was.
Why are our teams so defensively shit? Like Chelsea, right? Chelsea, no, this is going to sound like an excuse, but like Reece James is injured. Ben Chilwell's injured. Thiago Silva is only back from an injury. We have Fofana who's injured. But like, you look at the four players that we play there. Like Chalobah, fair enough. He's young, but he's someone that's been at the club for a couple of years. And he's experienced. He's been in the team for 2 or 3 years. So, experienced enough. Still not great. Then we have the likes of Diassi, who I love the passion, but unfortunately the talent is just not to the fullest extent he could be. Badiashile, again, I thought he was going to be great. He's been shown very poorly. Poor performances, I think, recently. Who else have we got? We've got Gusto. I like Gusto. I feel like Gusto's a very good player, so I'm happy with him.
It's not just the defense, though. I think the likes of Casado that just hasn't hit the ground running. He's killing us to protect the defense.
And the one thing that I've noticed with Chelsea is when Casado and Enzo play well, we generally win the game. Like, you know, and that sounds stupid. Obviously, yeah, your players playing well, they win the game. But usually when they play well, they're in good positions, they're getting the ball off the center halves. They're dropping into centre half. Whereas the games where we lose, you'll see them hiding a lot. They hide behind the strikers when we're trying to play out from the back. They sit, you know, the way you kind of have your two strikers sitting in front of the back line. They sit in behind them. They don't make angles and stuff like that. And we get caught.
Yeah.
And we have to keep playing the same way. It's so annoying. It is the both of them are half decent on the ball, but I feel like their confidence is fucking shit for some reason. Like,
they're fucking 100 million each or something, are they?
I know, yeah. Like, you would think that, like, the other player having a fucking massive price tag would kind of take a bit of the pressure off. Pressure off the other person. But it seems like they just both can't handle the pressure of being a 100 million player, and they're not performing like it either.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I've nothing else to say about the result. Disappointing.
I want to stay on this, Paddy, because I think it was the best result of the season.
So I was always to play for. That was your final.
That was our final.
I sound like a Liverpool fan now. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know. That's like our biggest thing this season was now, we'll move on to the next game. But like our biggest thing after that result was like, okay, now we can actually catch United. Like, but then we fucked away. But the next one is Man United and Liverpool. Paddy, give us your rundown on this one.
I think every Manchester United supporter and Liverpool supporter was surprised at this result and performance. But I think, again, it was Liverpool were wasteful in the first half. Even though they were 1-0 up, they were very, very wasteful. They should have had that game put to bed. A bad mistake led to Bruno Fernandes' worldy of a goal, which was still a great finish. Like, no matter what you say, it was an unbelievable finish.
Yeah.
Mainu again with a superb goal, but again United's defense letting them down. Like, one player that you would not expect to put a loose tackle in the box is Wan-Bissaka, because he's one of the best tacklers in the league. But he got done by I think it was Harvey Elliott.
Yeah,
and he clipped. There was barely any contact. But look, penalty's a penalty. They gave it away and they held on till the end. But look, if you had said before we played Liverpool twice a few weeks ago that we'll beat them to get into the semi-finals of the FA Cup and we'll draw with them in the league to make them lose 2 points going for their title run, any United fan would have snapped your hand off. Snapped your hand off. So look, it was a positive result, but again, you're a Chelsea supporter, you just don't know what you're going to get in the next game from United. It's just so inconsistent. It's so frustrating. And you can't even blame it now on injuries anymore, because there's not even that many injuries anymore in terms of, like, we've a strong bench.
Yeah.
We are missing the left center back, and the left back itself was Luke Shaw and Martinez. But, like, it's not as if we're throwing duds in there. There's recognized international defenders going in their place. So I just don't get it. And I was listening to Jeremy Carragher and Gary Neville talking
about... Did you just call him Jeremy Carragher?
No.
We're gonna have to watch that back.
Jeremy Coyle.
go on, sorry.
Yeah. The way they were talking about how the players are just, like, again, like I was talking about, when you're pressing, you press together, you drop back together. But the way you say Bruno Fernandes is just chasing lost balls up the front, and that just leaves a big hole in the middle of the United midfield, and people just walk through it. And it's been happening all season. I remember the first game of the season, I think it was against Wolves, and, you know, I was thinking, oh, that's it, now we finished Champions League spot last season, we won the Carabao Cup, got to the FA Cup final, we're going to start again. And ever since that game, we've just been so easy to play against, so easy to play through, and Ten Hag just doesn't seem to be able to find a solution, and it's mystifying to me.
I was going to just ask you about that. Like I know we always touch on it a little bit when it comes to, like, when teams are playing poorly, we go to the manager and we kind of start questioning the manager. But, like, do you think it is something that, like, tactically maybe Ten Hag isn't sure how to fix, or he just hasn't got, maybe he just doesn't have the right set of players that he wants to have to do what he wants to do? But you can't be saying that now, I don't think, at this stage, can you?
I think he prefers to have ball players on the pitch, in terms of people that can pass the ball at a decently. So realistically, he would have wanted Aramba to be probably better on the ball, because he's great at breaking up the play, but I just don't think he's as effective at passing the ball forward as he would like. So that's why you're stuck down with, not stuck, like, Jesus Christ, the three world-class midfielders in Manu, Fernandes and Casemiro.
Yeah.
But Casemiro is not the player he used to be. Good at breaking up the play, but probably lost a yard of pace since he's been at Real Madrid. We need a world-class one in there. But they're a premium at the moment.
Yeah.
Chelsea got Casado. Arsenal got, Damien Rice. Yeah, got Rice, yeah. I don't think it's one player, though. I really can't see that fundamental lack of being able to hold the midfield tactically, in terms of not being able to get and play it through. Even when we were winning a game, like, so that game against Brentford, the game against Chelsea, I was shouting at the telly, play it into the corner flag.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Waste time, game management.
Yeah.
But they just keep attacking. Yeah. And then they lose the ball and they get caught on the... And it was the same against Liverpool. And I'm like, if you're winning the game, is Ten Hag not saying to them then, okay, shut up shop. Even go to a back five, or two lines of four, 4-4-2, two lines of four.
Yeah.
Just sit there close together. Yeah, like, it's basics of football, the absolute basics of football.
And you know what, right? The thing is with Chelsea, I feel like Chelsea are trying to do that as well, but Chelsea actually just can't hold on. Like, when Chelsea try shut up shop, they can't handle the pressure. Like I've never seen a Chelsea backline be so bad in the air. Like, our biggest threat is someone just launching a ball forward into the box, because we can't deal with it. Like, and it's so poor. Like, and tactically, I'm like, okay. So just before we conceded against Burnley, I know we're kind of jumping ahead, but just before, Sheffield United, but just before we conceded against them, 2 seconds before that, Poch takes off Nicholas Jackson, and he takes off, I think it might be Caicedo or someone like that, a winger, maybe Madueke or something. And he brings on Badiashile, and he brings on, who was the other one? Another defender. I can't remember who it was anyway, but he brought on two defenders, and I'm like, okay. I said, like, this makes sense. He's trying to bring it on. He's trying to shut it up. But he done it just before they had a free kick to launch forward, like, and they end up just launching it forward. And one of the players he brought on could have cleared the ball, and he didn't. And then we end up conceding. So I'm like, what's the, like, where do I draw the line between that being a shit decision to do on that, and the players just being shit and not being able to fucking set up correctly for, like, one set piece, and having that experience, like, to just put your foot through the ball, go and win the fucking header. Don't, it's like they don't realize how important going and winning that final or that first ball in is. It's like, it's so fucking frustrating. Like, really is.
It's nearly like at both clubs, there's no kind of fear or respect of the manager. The players are playing for Ten Hag, absolutely. Yeah. But there's no kind of fear if they make a mistake. If they make a mistake, it's all just okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's fine, you know, but they'll get over it. Like, you need someone there that's going to put the shits up them. That, like, if they give away a ball like that at the end of the game, they'll never do it again, or they won't do it for a long, long time. But they're just making the same mistakes game after game after game. And this is Chelsea and United.
Yeah.
What did you think of this United Liverpool game?
Yeah, I mean, like, I was, to be honest with you, I've mentioned it before. I don't want Liverpool to win the league. I was like, they're my final choice to win the league. So, when United went 2-1 up, I was kind of saying to myself, oh, please, just let them fucking hang on. Like, and then when Liverpool equalized, I'm kind of like, oh, here we go. Like, this is going to be the little fairy tale goes on again. Like, but like, it was a decent game to watch from a neutral perspective, although probably not the best performance by either team. But good from a neutral perspective, where kind of like, it could go either way. And when United took the lead, I was kind of like, oh, lovely. I was like, this is exactly what I want. And I know it sounds like, because let's be honest, I don't really care. But at the same time, it's a lot less of a burden on me next season if I don't have to listen to Liverpool fans give me absolute abuse because Chelsea are going to be shit again. So I'm kind of like, I was rooting for United, although I want to catch United because I have a bet on with a couple of United fans that Chelsea are going to finish above them. That's why I was so fucking angry about the next result with fucking Chelsea, like, because it was like opportunity was there. We had it in our fucking, the palm of our hands, and then we fucking may as well have just fucked it into the bleeding ocean, like, and we're never going to fucking get it again, I don't think, because we just don't have the fucking talent. We're not going to go on a big run of wins now from here to the end of the season. It's just not going to happen. Like, don't see it.
Yeah.
But now overall, I was happy with the result. Like I said, would have liked to see maybe United hold on, but beggars can't be choosers, as they say, Paddy, isn't it?
What do you think of Mainoo?
Very good, isn't he? Very, very impressive. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's really, really good. Really looks like a mature player. Like,
I was, you've had these one hit wonders like Makeda before at United.
Yeah.
But the amount of games he's played this season and the level of performance over those games, you would expect a lot more inconsistency with a player of that age, because you see the likes of Pelestri at United that comes in, drops in and out.
Yeah.
And even Garnacho at the start, like, you know, he was in and out and in and out. But does it show how good he is, or does it show the lack of player we United have in the team? But, like, I suppose you've
even... No, I think he's good. I think he's shown talent.
He is,
like,
he is that good. Yeah.
I think he's shown talent there.
Like, substitutions-wise, like, in any game, I'd take off Casemiro before I take off Mainoo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
because you'll get more, I think, from him.
Yeah, like, Bruno Fernandes is so frustrating at the moment because he's losing the ball so much. But you always know there's either... You always know there's an assist or a goal in him.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't take him off. It's frustrating.
He is a crybag at the same time. Will we move on, Paddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Sheffield United and Chelsea. Talk about, like, fucking taking all the joy I had, because I was buzzing for this podcast and I was buzzing because I didn't put any reaction out. Like, and I was saying, right, Grant, I'm going to be so happy going on to the fucking podcast, have a nice little reaction. Tell everybody I'm fucking extremely proud of Chelsea and we're starting to show some fucking promise and we've beaten United and it's great. And then we go and fucking draw 2-2 to Sheffield United. And it's just like, can I not just get a break? You know, that's all I want this season. It's just, I just want a little break from Chelsea being shit, from the abuse, from everything, you know? And it's just, I can't get it, because this Chelsea team is childish, they're immature, they're poor at the best of times. And that's the only way I can describe it. Immaturity in this team, to not be able to just hold on for fucking 5 minutes towards the end. Like, why are Sheffield United even dominating possession at any stage in this game? We should be taking that, like, a billion pound bottle job is the fucking perfect term, and I used to try argue it, and now, because I used to be saying that's £1 billion worth of fucking future potential, ask me bollocks now at this stage. It's fucking horseshit. It's just so hard to watch. This is probably the poorest Chelsea team that I've seen in my lifetime. And that's how it's going to be.
But probably the most expensive. And
100%.
Look,
yeah.
Look, man, I can guarantee you Pochettino doesn't have a much better record than Potter did. But it's not the manager. It's what's above the manager. It is. Like, look, I called it when those fuckers came in.
Yep.
I did. I knew it was going to happen. And
to be fair,
the longer goes on, the more frustrated you'll get as a fan base.
And the abuse that you did give United fans, because you used to always say, I'll get the flag. Remember the green and yellow flags? Get the flags out, you know, and call for them and fucking, like, after every poor result. And I was like, yeah, but why are you just complaining? They've invested money. You've spent fucking 500 million or whatever it is over the last couple of seasons. I now see that it's just pointless buying. Now, the only one thing I will say that's slightly different from us is we have bought a lot of young players. So I do know that there is possibly potential there. But potential doesn't mean anything. Potential's fucking nothing. Like, you know what I mean? It's nothing unless you get performances and maturity.
Potential on a 8-year contract.
It's crazy.
That is not good business. And where's the motivation?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's no motivation. And the only motivation is that you have to find that little golden nugget of a player that really cares, like that really wants to win and really wants to do well. That fears Conor Gallagher. And like, it's the fear of getting dropped. But I don't think the Chelsea fans really care. Yeah, exactly. They don't care. I'm not saying all of them don't care. Like I said, Conor Gallagher works his bollocks off. Diassi, like I said, the talent is just a little bit lacking, and maybe it's just his confidence or something like that. But I can see he has passion, and I can see he cares. And for me, that's probably enough for me not to get on his case and be saying, oh, I want him fucking dropped. I don't mind it. If I see some passion and I see that he's really trying to work hard and he's trying his best, I don't mind that. But it's it's the laziness from the likes of Enzo and Caicedo when things aren't going right. They go hiding. Like, I hate that. I really hate that. It's the likes of Raheem Sterling, who's a selfish bastard and doesn't run back half the time. I hate that. I hate the shit where people don't work hard and they don't run back. And Cole Palmer...
There's no excuse for it.
No, Cole Palmer is unbelievable. And even Cole Palmer is actually... Like, I seen it against Sheffield United, and there was a one stage, I think it was like the 80th minute or something like that, and I see Cole Palmer sprinting backwards, and I'm kind of saying... This is unbelievable because he's doing everything he should be going forward, and now he's having to do the work of some lazy bastard out on the wing that won't run back to try track back and help the team. So I'm like, I'm so fucking happy we've got Cole Palmer there, because if we hadn't got Cole Palmer there, I'm not joking, I think we could have been battling fucking relegation this season. And it's a sad fucking reality of it. Like, I don't see it getting better from now to the end of the season. Anyway, I'd like to see, I know it's terrible for me to say, but I want to see more fucking signings where I want to see experience come in. I want to see experience coming into it.
I think you want to see more signings, but you want to see them sticking with the manager as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because if they keep making signings and keep on changing the managers, it's just constant. You're in a constant state of flux.
Yeah.
There's never any consistency there. There's no manager. Because we talk about players on 8-year contracts and where's the motivation. But if a manager comes in and he has... And 50 to 60% of his squad, let's say even 70% of his squad, is the last manager's players. He always has an excuse. He always has a get out clause.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, it's tricky. So like I said, I was delighted with the Chelsea United result, and then this just fucking swiftly brought me back down to earth. So kind of ruined it on me. But such is life. Right, Paddy, we'll jump off that and we'll go on to the fantasy football. Right, Paddy, just going to share the screen for anybody that is listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can go to YouTube, you can have a look. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you hit follow, subscribe. If you're watching on Twitch or any of them ones, make sure you hit subscribe because it does help us out. Paddy, I had 55 points this week, one below average. I thought 55 was pretty good. 3 for Leno and goal, 1 for Dallo, 2 for Romero, 5 for Saliba. Chukwuemeka came on because the one game I brought fucking Phil Foden in, he gets dropped and doesn't come on. Ward-Prowse 10 points, Salah 8 points, Palmer 5, Isaac 2, Haaland as captain got me 16, and I brought in Solanke, got me 2. So there's Foden freshly brought in. Don't think I've had him all season. The one game I bring him in, I think it's the only game he's probably been fucking dropped this season. So very frustrating. Right, on to your own one, Paddy. You are sitting top of the league, by the way, by 43 points.
61 points, so a decent enough week, but I think Kevin De Bruyne done most of the work for me. So Ray and goal, 6, decent for the keeper. Anderson, 0. Saeba, 5. Dalot, 1. Palmer, 5. Yeah, he's been a great signing for me this season. Mm-hmm. Garnacho, 2. De Bruyne, 18. Saka, 10. Hoyland, 4. Who's my captain? Haaland, 8. And Solanke, 2. I think I give a little bit too much faith to my United players. Now, look, I like having Hoyland in the team, but captaining them is
It's a bold decision. Yeah. If you had a gone De Bruyne there, you would have been laughing. Now, look, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, but that's why it is, you know.
That's it, yeah.
So you have 11 points on the bench as well.
11 points on the bench, I know.
Are you fucking, you're more than that, but... you could have had a fucking great
Week still happy with me, 61 points.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Right, we'll have a look at Connor's team. He probably hasn't changed it. 62 points he got. Jesus. Ah. Okay. Areola in goal, 0 points. Dan Byrne, 6 points. Anderson, 0 points. Kufa, 1. Saka, 10. Salah, 8. He's got a strong midfield, hasn't he? Son, 10 points. Yeah. 5, Palmer. Haaland, 8. Watkins, 13. And Raul Jimenez. Just for the record, I took Watkins out this week, I think.
Me too.
Was it getting him in? I need to double check. I'm double checking that because I'm pretty sure I was either bringing him in or I took him out, and I can't remember which one it is, but I want to confirm that right here, right now. And it was, I was going to bring him in. So that's fine. I don't mind that. Right. We're going to have a look at the league table and see who is top of the table. I'm currently in 104th, and top is Chris Scully. Chris Scully has overtaken Tony Tam. I don't know how that has worked. How the hell has that worked? Because Tony Tam was first last week, and Chris Scully has got less points, but has gone one ahead of him. Maybe Tony made a couple of...
No, you see, we didn't look at the last fixtures.
Okay. I thought we did. Anyway,
because there was the United Chelsea game, and then there was a game obviously this weekend, so there was two sets of fixtures.
Maybe we've missed some. Anyway, Chris Scully is top at 1988, and Tony Tam is in second, 1 point behind with 1987. Then we have Ross Cudahy in third, Mark Lynch in fourth, Keelan Brennan in fifth, Jamie Parry in sixth, Adam Doyle in seventh, Twan Burns in eighth, Ray Perry in ninth, and Jay Daly, a former podcast guest, in tenth. So that's it. That's where we are, Paddy. Let me get rid of that. And we're going to move into the predictions. Paddy, first one. United and Bournemouth. What do you think? It's hard when we have to fucking start every prediction for our team like that, isn't it? With a fucking XL.
I don't know. I've no idea. So I'm probably going to give a prediction as a fan. And I'm going to say, look, United are just going to eke out 2-1. But again, not a great deal of confidence. And I'm going to go with Anthony to score.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with you. I actually think yous are going to win. And I think yous are going to start getting a couple of results together from now to the end of the season for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just me being pessimistic about Chelsea catching us, but I think yous are going to win this one. But I think yous are going to narrowly win it.
Are you doing your witch doctor thing where you're hoping to say, oh, they'll win, maybe, and then they don't win?
Maybe. I've got to say, Man United are going to win 1-0, and Anthony is going to score. Because, let's be honest, hopefully both of that stuff's not going to happen. Next one, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Oh, Paddy, how do you see this one going?
If it was the other way around, I'd say there was a chance Crystal Palace might get a draw, but in Anfield, and considering what happened in Old Trafford, they'll be looking for blood. Liverpool are playing Thursday, are they?
Liverpool are playing Thursday against Atlanta, yeah.
So Atlanta, can't see them having a great deal of effort expelled in that game. So yeah, I'll go with Liverpool win. But they will concede because, they haven't been great defensively. So 3-1. And Salah to score.
Yeah, I to be fair, I think they're going to bash them here. I don't think I think it's got, you know what, I think they're gonna go up early. I think they're probably gonna be like 3-0 up early, and then Klopp can start taking players off and rotating. So I think, yeah, they're gonna win 3-0. I think it's gonna be 3-0 before the 60th minute anyway, and then Klopp's gonna start taking people off in like the 65th minute. He's gonna start taking Salah off and stuff like that. So yeah, handy win for Liverpool, I think. You don't think?
No, I don't think it would be as handy as you say, because I've seen them struggle in nearly every game they've played this season, having to come back, now even against Luton and stuff at home. I just don't think it would be that.
It's just more voodoo, Paddy, to be honest with you. The next one, Chelsea versus Everton. Everton deducted another 2 points from the Premier League, which I think is absolutely shocking and ridiculous. Clearly a Liverpool fan.
And City still laughing at them.
I know, yeah. It's absolutely scandalous. And Chelsea as well. It's scandalous what's going on. Paddy, what do you think on this one?
I'll be honest with you. Considering Everton just got docked another 2 points, I think that will be used as fuel that we need points for survival. Yeah. And I'm going to say a draw. I'm not going to say they'll win in Stamford Bridge, but yeah, I can definitely see a draw. And I'm going to say Cole Palmer, because he's just been a machine in terms of goals and assists this season.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think we're going to draw this game. I think Chelsea are in holiday mode now at this stage. I think they've just shut off. Like, yeah, nothing to play for. They've given up. I would have liked the hope that they'd fucking help me out and try beat United, but I don't think they give a shite. One all. I'm gonna go 1-1. I'm gonna say Nicholas Jackson to score for us, put us up early, and then we'll fucking fuck it away in the 80th minute or something.
After this game, you have like four tough games coming up. I think it's Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, Aston Villa. So you could have a big say in where the Premier League title goes.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that well, look, let's be honest, Paddy. We probably won't have any say. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we could potentially have a say, but I don't think it's going to happen. Like, we're playing Arsenal. If we can beat Arsenal, happy days. But to be honest with you, like, I kind of want Arsenal to beat us just so they stay ahead of Liverpool. Like, I know it sounds fucking terrible. But, and like, Chelsea,
Jesus.
I know Chelsea should hate Arsenal, but
yeah,
I'm not from London. I don't have that local London hatred. Yeah. You know, I really don't have that. I don't like sports.
You know more Liverpool like Arsenal fans than London.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean, all I'm thinking about was my own mental health from this one. So I really don't care. Like, but yeah, I think 1-1 draw here is gonna be match. And like we said, we are gonna give a few little score predictions on the likes of the Arsenal matches now, because they are involved in the title race and it is becoming a bit more important as we get maybe in the next kind of 2 or 3 weeks. You might have a look at that relegation battle just to see, and might start just throwing in a few little extra predictions on them. We'll be reviewing them or anything like that. But Arsenal versus Aston Villa, Paddy, what do you think? Probably a good game to watch.
Yeah, good game. But Villa aren't the team they were at the start of the league. Whether they ran out of gas or whatever it was. But the first half of the season, they looked definitely like they were, you know, nailed on for the Champions League spot. Or they'd be fighting to the end. But Tottenham have overtaken them now. And they were a good bit behind them. I see Arsenal doing Villa here quite comfortably. So I'm going to go for a 3-0 win for Arsenal. And I'm going to say Saka's going to score.
Yeah, and the one thing about Arsenal is they're scoring a lot of goals, aren't they? Like, they really are fucking, they're very fluid going forward, like, which is...
And they're great defensively.
Yeah, very good defensively as well. Have they conceded the least amount of goals or the least second least? Yeah.
That's why their goal difference is so good.
Yeah, so like they have been impressive this season. And do you know what? They're kind of slipping under the radar a little bit this year, I think. Like, everybody's kind of talking about Liverpool and City going to win the league, but like, we need to keep our eye on Arsenal here, like, because they are slipping unnoticed, I think. I'm going to say they're going to win this one. I'm going to say it'll be tight enough. I don't think it's going to be a massive win. I'm going to say a 2-1 win. I'd say they'll probably go 2-0 up, and then Villa maybe a late little goal and they'll hold on. And I'm going to go with... Who am I going to go with? I'm going to go with Declan Rice to score a goal. Unusual one, but let's see. Mm. I think that might happen. That's it, Paddy.
Are we going to cover City's game?
Oh, shit. Who are City? City and... City. Forgot City exists. City and Luton.
Oh, Jesus Christ. in the Etihad?
Yep.
Oh my god. Hold on, I have to take off my shoes and socks here. Fucking count of all these scores. No, 5-0. It's Man City and Haaland, Haaland score first.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 4-0, and I'm gonna say City might. I'm gonna say Oscar Bob to score, because let's Oscar be honest, right, he's got the fucking best name in the Premier League, and I just wanted to say his name. That is the best name in the fucking league, and I don't care what anyone says. I'll fight you about that one, Oscar Bob. Right, Paddy, that's it. It's been a pleasure. If you are watching us on YouTube, Twitter, or Twitch, I think we're on. Make sure you follow us, subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. If you're listening on Spotify, give us an L 5-star rating. Same with Apple Podcasts. Follow us. Share it if you want. You probably won't, but whatever. Paddy, have you anything else to add to this beautiful episode?
Yeah, in case anyone like just tuned in at that last little bit, this isn't an old episode. We know Twitter doesn't exist anymore. We know it's X now.
Sorry, so, and I still have the old logo as well on the screen. Sorry,
the old logo as well. Yeah, so the date is the 9th of April 2024. If this is found in the time capsule,
9:08 p.m. Just making sure. Okay, that's it. That's it. We're done. Paddy will be back this same time next week. Is there any matches next week? Is it Champions League, Grant? Maybe we didn't.
There's usually a break, isn't there?
Usually a week or two break, I think. Anyway, look, not important. We will be back same time, 8:30 Tuesday next week, and we'll see everybody then. Goodbye.